When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba as we continue our team-by-team previews across all 30 teams around Major League Baseball to get you ready for the 2023 fantasy baseball season. We stick with the NL Central, and we go to Cincinnati to Great American Small Park, a great hitter's heaven, and hopefully pitchers for some of the guys on the roster this year. In order to help me break down the Cincinnati Reds, is a good friend of the show, good friend of mine. You can find him on rotowire.com, maybe on Sirius XM Radio, on the podcast that all people listen to on Sunday nights, which with Scott Genstead. He's on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson. Jeff Erickson, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to ride Scott's coattails again this year, so should be super fun. Fred Zinke on Tuesdays too. Gotta make sure Fred gets his love too.
He does. That's an amazing. Awesome. That's a great show because Fred's got quite the fantasy mind when it comes to trades and other things. So yeah, that's
and track record in expert leagues too. I mean, he is one of the very best.
So yeah, that's a good call. You can't do that. And, you know, got James hosting Wednesdays.
Yeah,
you got the slew of options there at RotoWire, of course, because baseball is in full swing now. Jeff, I don't know if you heard, but football's over, so it's baseball season.
It ended 2 weeks ago, as far as I'm concerned. But and we're doing 5 podcasts a week. Doing the Thursday podcast, which we'll get you on again this season. I'm off this Thursday because FSGA's, but got the great Sarah Sanchez talking Cubs with me and Tout Wars in 2 weeks. So looking forward to that. Yeah, it's lots of baseball talk. Going to daytime starting next week on Sirius XM, starting on Monday the 20th, noon to 2 Eastern, 9 to 11 Best Coast. So can't wait for that too.
And then I'll do the shameless plug for you. I believe there's like a free 10-day trial at RotoWire.
It's a free trial. It's rotowire.com/pod. It's a free peek behind the paywall. It's no longer 10 days, but just ping us at support@rotowire.com and we'll work with you. It's all good. But we want you to take a peek at it. Take a look at our projections, our articles, you name it. And if you've got a concern with one of them, just reach me. I'll respond even. And, you know, hopefully you'll want to subscribe.
For fun, real quick, before we get into the Reds, I know you do like majority, if not all, of the projections for RotoWire when it comes to baseball. And I know you've talked about it before. You like doing like 3-year averages and these other mixed year formula that you like. How are you handling it with, you know, you have a 2020 season mixed in right now. You have a different baseball every season. You have different rules every season.
Yeah.
Like, how are you kind of going about that?
I'm just guessing as best like everybody else, the best we can. I mean, I think last year has to have a little bit more weight than it usually would, just because, I mean, the 2020 season was just, complete aberration. So it's really hard to compare that versus any other season, especially with the completely unbalanced schedule. And then you add in, we got rule changes this year and a WBC. So it's never normal. I think we always want to say we just want to have a normal year. This is as close as we're going to get. Yeah. A full spring training except WBC and new rule changes.
If we have videos of actual pitchers and catchers in spring training camp right now. So it's about as normal we've gotten as of February 14th. So that's a really nice thing these days. Well, let's talk Cincinnati Reds, Jeff. Let's have some fun with this. And we'll kick it off with your starting second baseman in Jonathan India. Rough 2022 season based on the injuries he dealt with. I think he came back too early the first time. But now you're getting an ADP of like 180-ish, 181, which seems like a nice deal if you believe in a bounce back. So what do you think about India for 2023?
So I went back and forth on Idiot with the Triple Play podcast guys, and I'm a little lower than the crowd because I think the Statcast numbers are, you know, not great. I think it's red is good there, so blue. They're very blue, I think, there. And I get he was playing hurt a lot, so that might be it. He had a nice stretch in September before he got hurt again. He's going to run. I think that's a good thing. I hope he's going to run. He needs to run to really justify it a whole lot. I'm going to take him in the lower end of his range, though. I haven't been taking him at 180. I think there are a lot of second basemen in that area. And I'm often looking for stolen bases from the position. So I guess I want a little bit more from that. There's plenty of things that, you know, reasons that you could believe in a bounce back. But you got to believe that, A, he's going to stay healthy. B, he's going to turn around some of those hard hit metrics and see run the ball. Well, I mean, run a little bit more often. Still trying to transition here, guys. Work with me. I can see a profit. You don't really have to kind of squint to see where I could be wrong on this one. Nonetheless, there's other guys I like a little bit better at that range.
Yeah, no, he's been one that I totally see where he can become a value if he returns to the Rookie of the Year form. But at the same time, is he going to return to that Rookie of the Year form is the question. So it's not like a must pick for me at 180, mm-hmm. but at least I consider it based on how the draft's flowing at that point in time.
Right.
But yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like at first, when I dug in, like say November, I'm like, oh, this is too great. He's got to be a value at this point. And then you start looking at it some more, like you mentioned, it's not as captain obvious as it seems.
Right. Like for instance, I would take Jake Cronenworth a little bit later, he got a few picks later. I'd take him over India. I'd take Jeff McNeil over India. I'd probably take Luis Arraez, but although going to Miami doesn't help him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Brandon Drury is a fun little one to discuss yeah. too, just because new ballpark again. Was this just like Cincinnati magic or is he going to be able to do this in Anaheim? But Drury also, you get three positions out of that That's too, big. Which is another thing I like.
Yeah, I like that a lot with Drury. It looks like the Angels are going to try to play him as much as possible. So that's a big plus as well. Let's go to the interesting outfield situation. We'll start with TJ Friedl, who is projected on roster resource leadoff. We'll see how that plays out. He could platoon as well. Mm-hmm. ADP of like 354. So he's essentially going late free in drafts. We saw a little power, a little speed in his time last season. What's your outlook for a guy like Friedl?
You know, I'm warming up to him. That's a guy I grabbed actually in the Arizona Fall League First Pitch Arizona Speakers draft. We started this draft Champions League in late January. We finished it up a couple of weeks ago. I actually sniped Doug Dennis. So that's actually good because Doug's a smart guy. So I like doing that. You know, the thing is, we're going for cheap speed. I mean, that's all we're really going for here. And if he happens to get, you know, a little bit of extra power in there as well, he had 8 homers last year. All the better. I mean, he's hitting in a good park. Obviously, it's a tragic lineup. When they go on the road, you're going to probably want to avoid him. But I view him like Jake Fraley a lot, where great home streamer.
Yeah, that leads us right into Jake Fraley. That's why like, I've been looking at Friedl and Draft Champions, like you mentioned, and he's been kind of standing out as the late outfield source that I've been targeting because you have Jake Fraley going almost 100 picks sooner, 70, 80 picks sooner. And maybe doesn't run as much, but what's your thoughts between the two with like a Jake Fraley and a Friedl? Obviously, you said they're better at home than on the road, but how do you look at those two?
I think Fraley is a better hitter. You know, I think there's 220 as an outcome for him, but so is 275, 280. And I think that the shift rules might help him a little bit too. So, and you're getting a little bit more power. Find that week where he gets 5 right-handed starters, 6 right-handed starters. Oh, that would be that, especially at home. That would be wonderful. I find myself probably talking myself into Fraley and Friedl more than any other red hitters. There's not too many others that I'm that interested in.
Yeah. It's a streaming club, as you kind of mentioned. It's like we used to do with Coors. You get it with Great America.
Yeah.
You have some fun there and there's definitely options in that regard for sure. This one's tough, and I know it's got to be tough for you being a Reds fan forever, is Joey Votto. And last year was not a great year. That's putting it nicely. But he's still out there. He's still Joey Votto. His ADP is like 475 right now. Is he just kind of sailing off into the sunset for you, Jeff, or is there a chance to see a little bit of a resurgence for you?
I think there could be a Pujols-esque bump. I don't think he – I hope it's more Pujols and less Miggy.
True.
mean, he was so hurt last year that I really want to kind of just write it off. But he's also at an age where, yeah, players get hurt more. They recover slower. All these things are things that can happen. I think at that price, sure, whatever. In a 12-team mixed league, he's not going to get drafted. Probably in a 15-teamer in a main event, you're talking round 29 or 30. Sure, he's going to play. Probably not every day. You know, he'll probably be at a decent spot in the lineup. Again, he's a streamer at home.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, he's been one I keep looking at in drafts. I'm like, I want to do it. I want to do it. I don't think I've done it yet. But it's
only jersey I own, by the way, for a baseball player.
And I've seen that jersey a few times. That's a first pitch special right
yes,
there.
Yes, it is. So, yes, it is.
Yes, definitely. It's a good jersey to own.
Should have worn it for this. I don't know what I was thinking.
It's funny you mentioned it, like a side note on the jersey things. I've always been that way. I only buy jerseys almost when a guy's retired or I know he's basically going to retire with the team because people change so often. It's like I have my Will Clark jerseys. I have a couple other jerseys. Mm-hmm. I just can't, you know, buy some of the like, yeah. It's tough.
Well, one's even like a sweatshirt jersey, and that's Joe Burrow. That's the only contemporaneous, like, young player I have, but Votto and Steve Yzerman.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm not going to say it's just to placate my guest on the show, but Burrow better be a Bengal for a long time. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's one of those, like, find the money people.
Make it. They sold the naming rights to the stadium. They're moving heaven and earth to make sure he gets signed. And from all impressions I get, he wants to be there.
He's an Ohio kid. He wants to be there.
Yeah. So I think it's shaping up pretty well. We'll find out in a couple of months on that one there.
Good. All right, let's go to the catcher's position here with Tyler Stevenson, ADP of 132. We know the hitting skills are pretty good, especially batting average-wise for a catcher. He has just hurt a ton last year. He can play first base also, but there's that guy Joey Votto down there. But, you know, with a healthy Stevenson and the way the catcher's position sets up, there's definitely a spot for him. How do you view Tyler Stevenson this year?
I view him as someone that I'm going to probably have a little bit of. The thing is they're already talking about playing him 130-140 games, getting him DH and first base starts here and there. They're talking about carrying three catchers, Kirk Casale and Luke Malley would be the other two, both veteran-ish catchers. So they don't feel like they're losing a whole lot. The pitchers like pitching to both of those catchers. So, the second concussion with Stevenson was kind of scary. You know, it's all the first one. Okay. That happens. Second one, you're like, this could linger a while. I mean, witness what happened with Tua in football this year. And same thing is kind of an issue there in baseball. You know, we've seen it before. Joe Mauer, you know, name your Minnesota Twin, basically, and you've had concussion issues with them and how they've lingered. So it's always kind of scary to watch. But I think, yeah, BABIP was a little bit high with Stevenson. I think we all expect the batting average to come down. It's always a regress to what situation, not whether he'll regress, but nonetheless, he's one of the catchers I happen to like. There's a lot of good young catchers in the game right now. We're lucky.
Yeah, we're definitely lucky in that regard. And I like some of the stuff you mentioned there about they want to get him on the field besides just catching. We talk about mm-hmm. at-bats. I had the wonderful task of writing about like 50 catchers already this offseason. And you realize how quickly just a bunch of them, you're hoping for 100 games. Real quickly, so if you get 130, 140, I have a guy like Stevenson, that just catapults him up the list in a big, big way. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, one of your new Reds in Mr. Will Myers. I know I've spouted off a lot about how excited I am about this. I'm also kind of tongue-in-cheek at the same time because it is Will Myers. He has to stay healthy to make this work. But an ADP of 230, going to that ballpark where it seems like they kind of want to or have to play him a little bit. There's appeal to me in this one. I don't know what your thoughts are on Will Myers.
He's this year's Randall Grichuk.
Oh, no.
Average guy going to a great hitting environment probably bumps him a little bit, but not as much as you think it will.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right, unfortunately. And that's the thing is he's got to stay healthy. He doesn't run like he used to. So you're hoping for 20 home runs and things pan out for you. But then again, it goes to a different ballpark, as you mentioned, and that gets kind of murky as well. So I need to send
that to Justin Mason, by the way. He's got that series, Who is This Year's X version. I need to jump on that one before someone else claims it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because everyone wants to say he's this year's Tommy Pham, but I don't think anyone's going to trade for Will Myers. So that's I think that's the difference, yeah. But we'll see. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, 230, it's fine. Can he stay healthy? Can he hit for average? These are things. I mean, yeah, I think the ballpark's definitely going to help him. I always tend to think these good hitting environments make good hitters a lot better. They don't make bad hitters good. And not that he's saying Will Myers is bad.
That's a good point, though.
I think he's he's a replacement level MLB hitter. So that makes him slightly above replacement level now.
That's a good point though about the hitting ballparks, how they affect certain hitters more than others.
Right.
Let's talk about Spencer Steer here. Everyone was kind of hyped up for him to come up last year. Didn't really do much in his first debut, his first cup of coffee, showing a little bit of a promise in the minors though. Looks to have a job coming out of camp now. So you can get him in an ADP of 420. In draft champions. How are you approaching Spencer Steer?
I am not going to lasso him, Steer, and try to make sure he's mine, but same time.
Are you going to steer clear of him?
I won't steer clear either. Very good, Bubba. Nice. I like that you're getting in the spirit of this. Hey, stop me if you're this. He's a home streamer, but yeah. And he'll play for now, but he's going to have to hit pretty quickly because the Reds have a lot of, you know, shortstops that won't be shortstops eventually coming. And at some point in time, someone's going to, there's a whole number of guys that are going to be pushing for that playing time in the second half of the season, right? For the short term, it's like Steer and Kevin Newman starting on that left side of the infield. But I would predict that neither won't be starting by the end of the year.
That's good news for those Kevin Newman people out there. I'll say that much. That's why I didn't put him on the outline. Because I was like, we're not going to pretend this is going to have an impact at some point in time. But I am going to pretend that Nick Senzel is going to be healthy some season, Jeff. And I saw your tweet earlier today about an hour before recording.
Can't quit him.
So ADP of 520. It's like you got to take a shot here or there when it comes to that talent. But what are your thoughts? Because I think we're realists at the same time.
Number two overall pick in the draft. What could go wrong? The Reds screwed him up. Now, the problem is you can't undo that. I mean, it stays screwed. That's the problem. And, you know, he went 4 months without walking, I just saw today. It's just, that sounds scary. Doesn't sound like a guy that's going to run a lot.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to put him at? What position are they going to put him at this year? Catcher? I don't know. It's so aggravating seeing that. But he finally got a chance last year and then got hurt so many times. They just added Will Benson, and I think Benson's going to play more than people think. I think Benson's – and he's also – Benson's a threat to Friedel too, by the way, and Fraley. I mean, Benson's a guy that had a prospect pedigree at one point in time. I think he's got decent on-base skills. He's someone that could be sneakily involved in the playing time picture here a little bit. So, I don't think Senzel looks good now. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not ready for the start of the season. Wouldn't be surprised if he's in a platoon. And yet I will probably add him in one DC somewhere down the line or some really deep league. I'll probably, take a chance on him.
Yeah, that pedigree's there. So I don't blame you one bit on that one, especially at his ADP basically coming in free for you right now. Anybody else worth mentioning? You know, there's the Newmans, there's Chad Penders, there's a couple catchers. I'm not seeing anything that stands out as a big target right now.
Goodbye, Newman. No. Pinder could be that guy that hits, runs into a few fastballs and takes advantage of that relatively short porch in left field. But he comes with an obvious cost. He's going to strike out 100 times so fast it'll make your head spin. So, yeah, you're a Bay Area guy. You know this all too well.
Yep. He's if you got a bunch of lefties and he's in Cincinnati for the week, go ahead and pick him up. That's what I'll tell you right now. That's about all he's going to be worth for me this season. Let's go to the mound though, where there is some definite optimism or at least some hype and excitement in Cincinnati. We'll start with Hunter Green, ADP around 111. We saw how he finished the year, like definitely like an improved arm, kind of got it going, was just dominant. So what are your hopes for Green in 2023?
I think there always is the talk, oh, if he could only add a third pitch or improve a third pitch. As if it were that easy, you know, they'd do it. I mean, it's so many times you hear that. Green's awesome when he's on. He's super fun to watch. I got to see him in person this last year in that Dodgers start where he actually pitched pretty well. I worry about him staying healthy. I worry about the team context, the ballpark context. The Brewers seem to get to him pretty readily a couple of times. I think the thing is, can he go six innings? Can he, you know, can he get through that two and a half, three times through the order? Or do they start to get the measure of him? He needs to improve. You know, the curveball's great. I mean, he needs to getting that changeup going. He bagged it on occasions, as our outlook says. You know, he needs that, especially against lefties.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do because he kept the ball in the park, stopped walking guys towards the end of the season. We'll see if it can continue on. That takes us to Nick Lodolo, though, who's going 12 picks behind Hunter Green. And, you know, this guy, he's got like a Chris Sale vibe to him, the way he is on the mound out there. Very, very strong stuff. So how are you thinking about Lodolo? And then would you rather go Lodolo or Green?
I'd rather go Lodolo over Green. Tristan Cockcroft is a mean, from ESPN, is a mean, nasty, awful person. Took him one pick before me in that said speaker's draft. I like Lodolo a lot. I think he's super polished. The walks are a little bit concerned. Obviously, durability is a concern. Same team context problems there. But if I had to choose the long-term career of either, I'd take Lodolo over Green and without a whole lot of hesitation.
Okay. That's interesting because, yeah, I get torn between the two, and I usually end up falling to Lodolo between the two because he's going later. That's just my preference.
That's a fine philosophy.
But it's just like I like both of them, and I think on one of our recent shows with me and Bloomfield, someone asked, because we were doing ADPs like 100 to 150, and they said, what pitchers in this range could you foresee being like a top two or three round pick next year? And we both said Green and Lodolo. We wouldn't be shocked if it was either one of them. Like they have that ceiling at the same time that they're so young, it could get kind of blow up in your face also. Yeah. But this is where you kind of get to the draft. If like these are your SP3s potentially, maybe four if you're really aggressive on pitching.
Right.
They could be ceiling guys, and that'd be quite, quite interesting as you build things up there.
I mean, you look at the Reds organization. I mean, they need these two guys to really make it because, I mean, Graham Ashcraft could be interesting, but they don't have a whole lot behind. Brandon Williamson came over last year from the Mariners in the Winker Eugenio Suarez trade. Turns out it was the Suarez trade, not the Winker trade, although I didn't think it was going to be that case. And he didn't have a good year. He didn't really develop like they thought. They added some live arms like Chase Petty. They got some other interesting possible arms, but most of their prospects are infielders. Like if you look at our depth chart and you look at our RotoWire prospects in the top 400, the top nine prospects in the system are all infielders. Yeah. So that gives you an indication. Now infielders can move anywhere that, you know, take that, especially shortstops can move anywhere. So you kind of take that philosophy, but the point is like most, and I think this is a good way to build a system. You build the hitters first, and then you can parachute the arms in. You know, it's like what the Astros did, what the Cubs did when they did a tear down and rebuild. I don't count on the Reds doing the rebuild part of it there, though. That's the thing. I think that, but I mean, you look at that. They got their farm system's loaded with guys, and that's why Steer really has to hit well, because there's Ellie De La Cruz, there's Marte, there's Cam Collier eventually, and Encarnacion Strand. I mean, they've got guys that are just, you know, coming out of their ears in the infield. So McLean's another guy that's really interesting. So, but they don't have the pitchers. They don't have a whole lot. Now, I think it's hard to draft pitchers well, obviously. I mean, the Angels, one year, spent all their first 20 picks on pitchers 1 year, and they're struggling to get like two guys out of that class. I mean, it's not easy.
No, it's not, with all the arm issues. And that's why even like just you can take it from a real life to, like I said, a dynasty startup league. I always prefer get all my hitters and I'll figure out pitching later or stuff along those lines, because it's just – It's tricky. That's why I prefer, like, I'd rather have my team be like the Reds and have all these bats you can develop. And then whatever money you feel like spending, because we know they don't spend a lot, but whatever they spend on starting pitching. Go do that. Go get some veteran pitchers. Figure it out in that regard. I think that's a much better philosophy to go by. And that's why I didn't put anybody after Green Lodolo, because you mentioned it's Ashcraft, it's Sessa, it's a slew of I don't knows.
The Overton window is closed on us. We don't know.
Yeah, it's over, as they'd say. Yeah. Anything else that starting pitching wise, or is it just kind of let's move into the fun that's the bullpen?
Let's talk Ashcraft for just a nanosecond, because he throws hard. He just doesn't get the strikeouts. He's a ground ball machine, just has never really gotten the strikeouts. But I mean, you look at him, you see how hard he throws. Like, where are the strikeouts? He just doesn't have that other. It is obviously the off speed offerings aren't there, but I could see him taking a step. He took a leap in the minors, and you know, especially in 2021. So you might see like a second year at a level where he gets a little bit of a step forward. We're talking a streamer again on the road this time, though. But you know, someone that, and you know, you never want to have a guy that you can't use at home. That's always like the Gene McCaffrey rule. Always want, you know, if you can't use a pitcher in his home ballpark, what are you doing rostering him? Unless it's just as a streamer.
True. That always is the Rockies conundrum. So, and as we've seen, Great America, better hitters park than Coors lately. So it just,
yeah, it's crazy.
Even scarier. Bullpen now. This is the thing, and I've heard you say, and I'm 100% on board, I'm pretty sure with what you're going to say, is I just don't trust anybody here because it's a revolving door in Cincinnati. Alexis Diaz is awesome, but how do you see this bullpen playing out if you're looking at a fantasy perspective?
I mean, Diaz was awesome in a small sample, as a lot of relievers are, and I don't trust David Bell. There's that. Yet, I almost went up to 20 saves on Diaz. That's not enough to get him, by the way. I think, you know, you got to have him projected for 30 saves if you're using any sort of ranking algo that's connected to the projections. It's for you to get him at the ADP cost, but he's the most likely guy to close, but it's David Bell. He'll use Diaz in the fifth so fast it'll make your head spin. You know, he'll do that just because. TJ Antone had a setback. So that's one less guy. We don't know what Lucas Sims is going to be this spring. We'll watch him closely. But Santillan could be there. Reaver San Martin. It doesn't matter who's there.
Yep.
He'll find things. I mean, the fact is no one was mentioning Alexis Diaz's name last year, really. I mean, not until he got the first save and he looked good a little bit. Like, oh, watch the metrics. See how well he's pitching. Maybe he's someone you can pick up. But it's tough. It's really tough to count on that.
Very, very true. That's why I kind of steer clear, is it's just a headache all by itself in that situation. But Diaz was good, like you said, a small sample, looked really, really good. Let's talk some of those prospects that you mentioned earlier that maybe we'll see this year. I know everybody wants to talk about Ellie De La Cruz. He's getting drafted actually pretty well in these DCs. Do you think we see him this year to overtake maybe Newman per se?
If it's not him, it's Marte. It's somebody. But yeah, I love Ellie. I think that, you know, I mean, it's hard not to. I mean, he's a YouTube porn right now. I mean, it's just like, oh, there's another homer. Oh, look at him run. I mean, I question a little bit about the defense. And that's, you know, sometimes when we're looking at these shortstop prospects, the defense is the thing that prevents a lot of guys from getting called up a lot of times, and we don't realize it. Sometimes it's like, yeah, he needs to work on his defenses. It becomes like a Twitter meme, but in a lot of cases, it can be true. He's a big guy for shortstop, you know, a lot like O'Neill Cruz, except I think he's a better hitter. Better. I mean, he's still got some, you know, plate discipline issues as well. I mean, 94 strikeouts in a high A, and then 64 more in double A. But I'm dreaming on him a lot.
Yeah, he's an impressive guy. I've broke down recently in a little kind of deeper article deal. When you look at him, just with his ADP of 417, like, just give him the chance. He seems quite enticing. You mentioned Oelvy Marte's there. I have to ask you, Jose Barrero, are we just done with him, or is there still kind of an open window for Barrero?
There is a tiny little window right now. But because the Reds have said they're not giving up on him yet. Yeah. And it's Kevin Newman in front of him. If Barrero has a crazy good spring, they're going to find a way to get him in there a little bit, but this is his last dance right now. Cause you know, the cavalry's coming. So he it's either now or never.
Yeah. It's interesting scrolling through like, roster resources, going through your minors. Like, they're not sexy by any means. We still have Justin Dunn, who there was hope for at one point in time. You mentioned Brandon Williamson didn't pan out in his pitching. You got Noelvi Marte. There are some interesting names here. You mentioned Will Benson could be something fun. Nick Solak still there if he ever figures that one out.
Yeah.
There's
Jason Bosler is there in my house. Yes.
Like there's names that honestly we wouldn't be surprised if we did like a 2 week run where you go and grab them off the waiver wire and then they disappear again for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So the Reds are going to be a fun fantasy team. What's your overall outlook for the Reds in 2023?
Oh, pain. They're going to be really bad. You know, those guys that you mentioned, I mean, they're trying to strike lightning in the bottle. They've had some, you know, modicum of success. Look at Drury last year. It's just an example. They're going to give playing time is currency, and it's a great hitting environment. They're able to turn Drury into a prospect, which is better than a lot of the NRIs. So this is a team where you pay attention to the NRIs a little bit, at least, especially on the hitting side. Not so much on the pitching side. You know, they don't have Don Gullett and Jim Bowden working together to find the next Pete Churik, but who knows? Maybe they're certainly going to throw out a lot of things at the wall and see if they stick. That's for sure. But they've had more success on the hitting side. Although they did get Dan Straley and turn him into Luis Castillo.
That's so true.
I mean, bottom fishing can pay, but you know, once you get there, then you have to do something. And I don't see that commitment. That's the problem. They can do these little things and get up to 75, 80 wins. Yay. We could be good next year. All we need to do is add these. It's a commitment from ownership. And shockingly, the Bengals got there before the Reds. Mike Brown is notoriously the cheapest owner in the NFL, and he's not cheap anymore. It's a world gone mad.
It's like he tasted what the glory of winning is and wanted to have more of it, where the Reds just haven't got there yet, it feels like.
Well, and they committed even before that, though, and they signed DJ Reader and Mike Hilton and a couple of guys like that that set the cornerstone there. Somehow they convinced them to spend a little bit. And meanwhile, you've got the Reds owners going out and saying they're running the team like a nonprofit. I mean, it's just like, or that they are a nonprofit. You know, it depends on your interpretation of his comments, but just like, stop talking. You're not helping.
The bright side is the ballpark's a great ballpark to visit. I'll say that much.
I haven't visited it yet. You're ahead of me.
Really? No, I had to go to Indianapolis for something, and the Giants just happened to be in town. That was like a 35, 40 minute drive. It's not that far away, it feels like.
I grew up in Indy. It's about an hour 40.
I wasn't driving, so it felt a lot quicker coming.
Yeah, you're going to a ball game, so of course it's going to feel quicker. So that's good. I grew up, you know, I grew up in Indy, and I saw Eric Davis play as a minor leaguer. Although I think they switched to Wichita right around that time as a Triple A team. But I saw the big red machine would come to town to do the majors versus Triple A exhibition every year. George Foster hit a ball off a light tower. It was awesome. I mean, so it was always an easy drive. I saw a lot of games in the Riverfront, just nothing in Great American yet.
Yeah, no, well, you'll get to check that off the box soon enough, I have a feeling. So that'll be fun for you. And, we'll wrap it up there, Jeff. Once again, remind everybody of what you got going on over there at rotowire.com.
Too many things. It's awesome. But we've got our podcasts, 5 a week now. We've got the radio show switching to daytimes beginning on Monday. We've got Ryan Roof just came out with a new article. He's doing his closer work. James Anderson's doing yeoman's work all offseason, not just prospect work, but just a weekly podcast with all the great people in the industry. He's been doing a lot of draft strategies talk. It's great stuff there. Jason Collette, Todd Zola. I can go on and on. Check it all out. rotowire.com/pod. Take a free peek behind that paywall and hopefully you like it.
Yeah, I recommend it. I shouldn't have to. You guys should already be there, but I recommend rotowire.com. And more importantly, good old Jeff Erickson here. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff_Erickson. Jeff, always thanks for joining me, my friend.
My pleasure, Bubba. Thank you.
Everybody, this is Bench with Bubba, your Cincinnati Reds season preview. Catch you guys next time.
Way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100 and use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.